I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Brian Gelt. He is the founder of Peopleitics. This is going to be a really interesting episode because Brian had the top-selling Audi dealership in the country and even consulted on Super Bowl ads. But his journey is much broader than that. And he's become a little bit of a, starting as an expert in the automotive industry and dealership operations, he's taken what he learned, and it's more about people, and that's the core of the name of his company, Peopleitics. And he helps develop individuals and teams. He loves that. And one of the tools that he uses is the Predictive Index. If you haven't heard of the Predictive Index before, you really want to listen in. This is an interesting tool. It is a tool, and so it has its place, but it's a really powerful tool that helps guide people to have more powerful teams, and Brian helps them on that path. Brian, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, so you had the number one Audi dealership in the country?
For a number of years, yes. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. What was the key? What did it take to become number one? I mean, because there's a lot of competition.
Yeah, there's a lot of competition, and they kept adding competitors that as well. But, you know, it's really a function of a couple of things. You know, as the leader of that team, I get to create the vision. I set the target, but it's the team that got us there. And so really what it comes down to is you've got to learn, you know, what are each person's strengths? Who's going to get you where? Who's the best at any particular thing? And let them go, you know, light that fire and let them run. And, you know, sometimes you got to guide them and coach them and keep them within certain boundaries. But I had some terrific, terrific people on my team that really did an amazing job.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the challenges is identifying people's core strengths, you know, and being able to let them run. I mean, so, you know, if you have a stallion in the stable and you hook them up to a milk cart, that's probably not good for the stallion and not good for the milk cart.
Right. You're right. And that's part of, you know, what we learn to do as leaders is we learn to identify which is which, right? And, you know, I know you mentioned Predictive Index, and I love Predictive Index because it's the tool that enabled me to identify who's who. Now, as a leader, eventually you can figure it out on your own. You might be able to, it might take 6 months, it might take 9 months, but with a tool like Predictive Index, I know day one, who am I dealing with? What are their natural strengths and how to lean into those?
Yeah. Just for those that don't know, because I think the first time I heard of Predictive Index was last year. I had no idea what it was. What is it? Why does it matter?
Okay. So Predictive Index is actually about a 75-year-old company that identifies these four key traits, behavioral traits that we all have. And by identifying those traits, it helps you identify what somebody's natural behaviors are and their workplace work styles. And so to give you like an example, if you think about it, a salesperson you think of as really extroverted and outgoing, and an accountant you might think of as more reserved and comfortable working alone for long periods of time. They're two totally different types of personalities. But when you first meet somebody, you don't really know. And so the predictive index helps you identify who's who. So it helps me, and I help my clients now, but it helped me put people in a spot to succeed. Even if they didn't know that was the right spot for them yet, I did. And so they take the coaching, they love the feedback, they love the role. And so they just start to thrive and grow. And they grow beyond not only their wildest dreams, but mine.
Now, I would imagine there's somebody listening who's like, oh, geez, another assessment tool. I mean, I've done DISC, I've done Myers-Briggs. Yeah. I don't want to learn another assessment tool. Why should they care about predictive index?
Well, I'll tell you the beauty about predictive index, and this is the two most important pieces for me. Number one, it's really quick. It takes about 6 minutes to complete the assessment. So it's very easy and very affordable to give to every candidate, not just employee, but every candidate, so you don't miss a potential good person. The other thing that's really critical to me is it's actionable. When I was running my businesses and my dealerships, I mean, you got 14 phone calls a day of, I've got this slick new technology and I've got this great idea. And at the end of the day, they're all really interesting. They're intriguing beyond belief, but they don't do anything more than that. And the thing I like most about Predictive Index is everything is actionable. Okay, you've got this information. What are you going to do with it? And the tools that are built in are designed to help managers manage people, to help them grow and develop. And without some of those tools, the only the way that most of these managers learn is by screwing it up, right? They ruin people. They take potentially really good employees. They don't understand those people and they ruin them.
You know, I've been very fortunate. I've only had to fire two people in my life. And the first one was really hard. You know, I think it's one of the most horrible parts of management and leadership is having to fire someone. And you said something about managers go off and ruin people. And that's, it brought back that memory of firing somebody, which is sometimes necessary. How would that reduce the number of times I have to let somebody go?
So it's really, and just to throw a little statistics at it, 70% of the reason that people quit a job is their manager, their direct supervisor. Of those 70% that quit, 55% say, my manager doesn't care about my development. And the way that actually happens in the workplace is, the only time my manager interacts with me is to bark at me, is to tell me what I've done wrong. They don't tell me generally how to fix it. They only tell me I've made a mistake, do it better. And so the beauty of some of the predictive index tools is it actually provides the next step. It's, you know, how do I fix it? How do I help this employee grow and develop? How do I replace maybe the bad words with the good words, or improper actions with proper actions? So we do more than just say, hey, you messed that up, you better fix it, which most employees go, I don't really know what to do. And we give them give those managers the tools to say, here's where you went off. I realize that may be outside your comfort zone. Let's figure out a way that you can adapt to the demands of the job together. And the employees buy in. And all of a sudden, they feel like their manager cares. They're helping them develop. And so we see a stronger result from those employees and better performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I was in the Marine Corps. And one thing you can't do with bad Marines, you can't fire them. Right. They break a law, you can court-martial and throw them out.
Right.
But if they're just lousy at their job, You can make their life hard, but you can't fire them. That's just not the way the Marine Corps works. But something you just said, and I had a Marine working for me that just really, really sucked at his job. And I tried different things until I found a way to actually make him better. And I think part of the key was he knew that my goal was to make him a better Marine.
Right.
And he was just struggling getting there. And I was struggling teaching him how to get there.
And that happens frequently. I'll tell you the part that kind of breaks my heart is we hire people that aren't necessarily right for the job because we don't know any better. And they show up and they're honest and they're hardworking and they're wonderful people. And they're just mediocre at the job, like this Marine that you've described. And so we have a tendency, we meaning most management today, to say, it's not working, cut them loose. We need to terminate them. When really we probably shouldn't have put them in that job in the first place. But once we did, we have an obligation to do right by that person. Sometimes that means let's find them the right role. And so there's tools within Predictive Index to help do that, to identify what might be a better fit for a role. And I'll tell you, certainly over the years of my career, I took lots of good people that were in the wrong job and put them in the right job and saw them thrive and absolutely grow and develop. And it was tremendous. Now, I'll tell you, Craig, there's the flip side, right? There are those people that just aren't good people and they create more drama than they're worth. And as hard as it is to let someone go, I've always taken the attitude of if I've got 100 employees, I'm not willing to risk the livelihood for 100 people for the one.
Yeah.
And that's really sometimes what it comes down to, because one person can really turn things bad.
Well, and the first person that I had to fire, his coworkers came up to me and thanked me after I let him go, which was a sign to me I'd let it go too long.
That's right. Yeah, that's usually how it happens.
Well, and tied to that, so how would you coach people to not let it go too long? How do you know when you've done enough, when you should stop?
Yeah, it's not easy. And that certainly takes a lot of practice. Part of the beauty of a tool like Predictive Index is we take what is usually a very emotional thought process and emotional conversations, and we infuse data into it. And so when we're able to add that data in, it gives us a clearer picture. And so sometimes all we need is that little connection, that little synapse that says, what am I doing here? Or as my old partner used to say, why are you trying to teach a cat to bark? It's frustrating for both parties. So you learn to stop doing that. And you can have a frank conversation with an employee about, let's either find another role or let's part friends because maybe you shouldn't be in this one, or let's find a way for you to adapt. But once we make it less personal, meaning it's less about me and you, and it's more about the demands of the job, it's a much easier conversation to have. And so it's much easier for me as the leader to make that decision and to act quickly, because it's not so gut-wrenching. It's more data-based.
Yeah. Wow. So when you had your Audi dealership, were you using Predictive Index?
Yeah, I was. And so I had used, I had a fairly long career in the automotive business, most of it in management, and had, thousands of employees over the course of the years. And I always worked in, trying to, how do I develop? And there's got to be a better way. And when I found Predictive Index, it really was a game changer for me, because it enabled all the things that I was trying to do, and it made it quick and easy. And as I said, actionable. It enabled me to make better decisions and to make them quickly. And a lot of times that's just what you need to do in order to be an effective leader, is make good decisions and make them quickly. So yes, I used it. I used it for 15 years. I became what we call PI certified in 2005. And when I left the retail automotive space and decided I wanted to do a second chapter, this was a natural fit for me, because it enabled me to take what I had learned and all my people experience and all of my team members and all of those people and help relate it to other clients, regardless of industry. And I have a number of clients in the automotive industry, and I've got even more that are in different industries. But the truth is, they've all got the same people issues, whether it's a bank or a defense contractor or a software company. They've got people, they've got the same issues.
You know, it's funny, I say that about marketing. You know, a lot of people get caught up, hey, have you worked in my industry before? I'm like, no, but I've worked with people like the people in your industry before, because there's some underlying wiring in the way we behave, the way we make decisions, the way we show up for work.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it really doesn't matter which industry it is, you know, whether we call them a business development representative or a salesperson or, you know, however we title it to make it gentle, what they do every day is still the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're, and at the core, we have some pretty simple needs. Everybody has pretty simple needs. And some have needs in some areas, you know, some have needs in other areas.
Absolutely. And again, it's about recognizing what does each individual need and trying to help coach and guide them based on what they need. Because if we don't have that information, the default position is we do it the way I like it, right? And what's that old saying? When you're a hammer, everyone looks like a nail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're not.
No. What would be your biggest success story using predictive index?
I mean, I've knock on wood, I've had lots of them, but I'll tell you, probably the biggest success stories I have are, to me at least, are when I have those really good people that are just not performing up to snuff. And rather than terminating those people, I mean, these are good, honest, hardworking, show up every day, salt of the earth people that are just performing at a mediocre level, which you can't allow because it brings the whole team down. It is finding a different role within the organization that allows them to thrive. And in doing so, first of all, they become my biggest advocate, right? They're out there telling the world, hey, I didn't get fired. I moved to this department. Oh my God, everything is fantastic. And I'm so happy and I'm doing well. And that is a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment to me, is to be able to keep good people, especially today where talent is, you know, the talent pool is thinner and we can't afford to cut good people loose.
Yeah.
The other thing I will say is I really made a career out of finding people without experience. Resumes are fluffy. I like to say fluffy instead of bogus. But so we need to be able to get beyond the resume, and predictive index helps us do that. And I was able to find people with no prior experience, particularly in sales, but they had a natural aptitude for it, even if they didn't know it. And I was able to develop those people. And frankly, they built a career for themselves to where they were able to, you know, earn a great living, have a family, buy homes. And that's really rewarding.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what have been some of the more bizarre, more dysfunctional situations that you've had to work through?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's got those bizarre and dysfunctional situations, right? Where everything should be just right. You know, you've got the right person theoretically in the right job, and, you know, everything should be fantastic, and it just isn't. And you have to have some really tough conversations about why it's not. And sometimes you got to let people go, and it's never easy, but you know, those are some of those challenges. And, you know, certainly when it comes to team building, you know, again, my experiences in the automotive sector, you got a lot of people that maybe have just, you know, they've been there a long time. That doesn't mean they're in the right role. They've just been there for a long time. And that can really create some dysfunction, because then you've got people walking on eggshells instead of really, really going out and succeeding.
Yeah. Well, Brian, let me ask you about family businesses, because that seems to be, there's some unique challenges in family businesses.
Yeah, there are definitely some unique challenges in family businesses, and you know, they're not, you have to be careful, certainly when I'm working with a family business, because it's a family business, right? And you know, if it's between me and their children, I'm pretty sure I know who's getting the boot. But part of it is understanding everybody's strengths, right? So if I've got a family business, and maybe there's, you know, a founder and a founder spouse, and maybe a few kids, you know, those kids all have different strengths. And it's trying to align them to their own strengths rather than necessarily fitting them into, what do I need as the founder? Well, I need you to take over accounting. I hate accounting. And so things aren't done well, and it becomes dysfunctional, and it becomes a real challenge, and people are going around their managers, and it becomes a real mess. But part of the reason that happens is, you know, sometimes these business owners, they don't know what their people's strengths are, their children's strengths are. And so, you know, sometimes a simple tool like predictive index enables us to highlight what they might really be best at. And in doing so, if I can align them with their own natural abilities, that's a win-win.
So I would imagine probably one of the hardest conversations to have would be to go to John and say, hey, John, I want to talk to you about John Jr.
Yeah.
And it's not John Jr. is Grease Lightning. So glad he's on the team.
Right.
How do you approach that?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, part of it's my own personality. I'm not particularly afraid of the tough conversation, so I'm okay with it. And, you know, I call myself sometimes a disinterested third party, right? Meaning I don't really have a dog in the fight, other than I want to see the company succeed, and I want to see everybody thrive and do well. And sometimes you need that outside voice. You need somebody to say, hey, time out. Why are you doing this to yourself and John Jr.? Maybe we can find another role that might suit him, you know, or her, and a little bit better. And sometimes, you know, that takes a little soul searching for some of that stuff, but oftentimes they just don't know what everybody's strengths are, what everybody's gifts are. And so it's trying to figure that out. And so a tool like a predictive index, you know, I love PI, but because it's so easy for me to be able to work with, a tool like that enables me to be able to say, wow, you know what? Maybe John Jr. shouldn't be leading my sales department, because he really doesn't like sales, right? Or he doesn't like some of the natural attributes. Maybe John Jr. should be leading operations, because that leans into his strengths, or, you know, supply chain, or something that has different focuses. And in doing that, again, we find what are those strengths, and then that whole leadership team works much better. That's another part of what I do, is helping teams, you know, as a team, understand who are all the players on the team, how do they operate differently, and then what can we do to help them not only be a cohesive unit, but to learn to lean on each other's strengths and rather than seeing them as weaknesses.
Well, let me throw out an example. And there's a company that I'm aware of that family business, multiple family members working in the business. And one of the family members, he just liked to play. He was very status oriented. So he was always wearing the right clothes, driving the right car, living in the right neighborhood, high need for status. And he just needed to play. He was not dependable. Now, everybody has talents. What do you do when you run across somebody like that in a business and you know you can't fire them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes when we say not dependable, are we trying to take the person who likes to play, who loves to be out there in the world, who loves to, you know, what I call shaking hands and kissing babies, and we're telling that person, hey, I just need you to sit in this office here. It's a really nice office, but I need you to be there 7 hours a day. And they hate it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we really need to take a step back and think, why am I doing that? Why am I doing that to them? Why am I doing that to myself when I've got somebody who could be out there really, you know, sharing the vision of this company out there in the world? And yet I'm trying to rein them in because that's what I need, right? I need someone to take care of operations. Well, this is not an operations person. So why don't I find somebody who can take care of operations and let this person do what they do best? And let's see if we can triple our revenue.
Yeah. You know, I think back to the best boss I ever had. I tell people I'm a horrible employee. You don't want to be my boss. I'm, you know, hard-headed, no respect for authority, difficult to manage. And my best boss ever, he didn't manage me. He guided me. And he knew that I saw a vision for something that nobody else saw. I'm not even sure how much of it he saw. But I always felt like he treated me like a thoroughbred. And he was like, as long as you stay on the track, you can run as fast as you want. Just stay on the track.
And that is amazing. And it's rare to find that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm trying to do is help companies identify those thoroughbreds and put them all on the track.
Yeah. Well, Brian, I love that. Thanks for sharing that wisdom. And so again, your company name is Peopleitics.
Yeah.
And it's Brian Gelt. How did people reach you?
Yeah, they can reach me through my website at peopleitics.com. Certainly, they can follow me on LinkedIn. I'm trying to be all over LinkedIn. And you can reach either Peopleitics or you can reach me personally. And I'm happy, you know, for any of your listeners, you know, I'd love to have them try it. So I'm happy to set that up for them to try it for free and see how they like it. See what insights it might provide for them. Happy to do that.
Well, and let me share this as somebody, so I'm in a peer advisory group where one of the people in the group is a trusted advisor, a partner with Predictive Index. And I've been shocked how accurate his insights are on people. And, when I took time to study a system, I studied the Myers-Briggs. I understand it pretty well. And I'm one of those that don't want to learn another system.
Right.
But I've been really impressed with Predictive Index. And one of the things you said was the Predictive Index is a tool. And just like a race car is a race car. You need somebody, in the same way that you need somebody to drive the race car, you need somebody to help drive Predictive Index. And Brian, I hope they reach out to you.
I hope so too. Happy to help.
All right. Thanks for being on Leaders and Legacies.
Thanks for having me, Craig.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.